Elissa Walker Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. More NBA talk tonight on the fastest 2 hours in radio. And I tell you what, it has been a tumultuous season for the Brooklyn Nets. And as a result, they have decided to part ways with their head coach Lionel Hollins and general manager Billy King. He was reassigned. It certainly made very big headlines this past week in the league. So in our next segment, we've invited Yahoo NBA writer Mark Spears to get his insight on some of the big names to replace Hollins, and also what is the future of the Nets. So good evening, Mark. It's nice to have you back on the first time in 2016.
Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Well, let's focus on the future of the Brooklyn Nets. So Hollins is out, and before we discuss, you know, what all is going to go down as far as the forecast, why do you think Lionel Hollins was unable to find success in Brooklyn? Because I thought he did a beautiful job in Memphis.
You can only coach who's in front of you. I mean, you gave him a bunch of aging stars, you know, and guys that were great 5-10 years earlier, and expecting him to get a fountain of youth with them, and it's just not going to happen. I mean, they had a roster that was just poor. It was a roster that they wasted money on. And so I don't know what he did wrong. Their owner just seems like an eccentric type, you know. And I can't really figure him out because, you know, on a different standpoint, Billy King only did what the owner asked him to do. I mean, when Prokhorov came in, he had the mentality like this is like I could just walk in and throw some of my money around like they're in Russia. And make him an instant winner. And I don't even think he really understood that, okay, there's a salary cap, there's a, you know, luxury tax, there's a, you can't just throw, you know, get quick fixes in the NBA. It don't work like that. You know, and so, oh, let's forget first round picks. I want to win now. And so I think Billy was only doing what he was told to do. And I think Lionel was only coaching who he's given to coach. So, I mean, I think that both of those guys are scapegoats to what the owner wanted and what ultimately failed.
Yahoo NBA writer Mark Spears with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. So as we zero in on the Brooklyn Nets, where in the world do they go from here? Because the Nets are without a first-round draft pick until, what, 2019? I mean, they've really got their hands tied.
No, they're going to be bad for a while unless they're able to just, do something in free agency. But I don't expect a quick turnaround. You know, when you're struggling like this, you go through the draft to do it. There's no, you know, I like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and Lopez is a good player, but there's nobody there for the future that I don't think Brooklyn is super excited about to watch. You know, there's no superstar draw. There's no superstar talent. You're not going to be able to fix it through the draft. I mean, you're talking about like 7 draft picks and a young player in Derek Favors that they traded. Had they just stayed the course, you know, instead of their owner wanting this quick, immediate fix, I think they would have turned it around right now. One of the other picks went to Enes Kanter, okay. You know, so at the time, you know, the Darren Williams trade didn't seem so bad at the time because Darren was playing at a high level. I don't really blame that trade. I more so blame the Joe Johnson and the KG and Paul Pierce trade was probably the one that really sunk them, you know, to give up 3 first-round picks in that deal for 2 guys who were certainly at the end of their careers. I just didn't understand it. They were good at the time, but they weren't the Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett that I covered in Boston when they won the championship and went to the finals in 2010. So that, to me, was the trade that really destroyed the future of the Nets and ultimately led to, I think, Jason Kidd's departure.
From a coaching standpoint, who should they be considering? I mean, could we potentially see an international coach come on board?
I mean, you could. I mean, I wonder from a front office standpoint if they consider Karolinko, who, I guess he's in president of the Russian Basketball Federation now. You would think because of, they have a Russian owner that he'd certainly be open-minded to have some international flair there, but with everything that they got to fix, I think it would be better to get a veteran NBA general manager, not anybody, whether they're from the NBA or from overseas, who really doesn't have that experience. I think they need somebody that knows how to fix things and knows how to turn around. This is a hard, hard job. There's only 30 of these GM jobs, and there's only 30 of these coaching jobs, but you got to know when you take it, it's going to be difficult. And how much support are you going to get at the top when at any time, you know, you got an overzealous owner that can make a move? So I see that job, obviously somebody's going to want it, and it's going to get taken, but the elite people, why would they take that job from a coaching or GM standpoint?
So who would be the Mark Spears recommendation? I mean, there are some impressive candidates that are available. I mean, Scotty Brooks to Tom Thibodeau.
I don't know that those guys want to go there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, why would Scotty or Thibodeau, unless they're just desperate for a job, I don't see them wanting to go. They're not going to be able to get the players there to succeed immediately. I think that they're going to probably have to go younger, you know, perhaps go after a Luke Walton, you know, go after, you know, a Bickerstaff who is going to be probably a little bit, you know, certainly coveted after the season because he's getting, you know, time with the Rockets. I just think that they're in a really, really tough spot. You know, there's a lot of good young assistant coaches in this league right now. There's a great one in Miami. It's just not going to be a job, I think, that anybody who's a veteran guy, like David Fizdale, like he's in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think he'd be a great one. You've got a guy who has been in the Heat organization for a long time. He's seen a rebuilding with the Heat and go to championship and rebuild again. I think he's a guy. To me, you got to get a Fizdale. You got to get a Bickerstaff. You got to get a Walton, a young coach who wants the opportunity, know it's tough, but the only veteran coaches I think would take it are ones that just are desperate to get back in, desperate to take any job.
Yahoo NBA writer with us just a few more minutes tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We're going one-on-one with Mark Spears. And so here we are, mid-January. You're a West Coast guy. Let's focus in on another team that's in rebuild mode, and that, of course, is the Los Angeles Lakers. And we're all celebrating the farewell, Kobe Bryant. How much has his farewell tour impeded the process of this rebuild? Because what Mitch Kupchak alluded to that.
Oh, bad draft picks.
easy.
That's such a poor excuse. I mean, come on.
Uh-huh.
You passed on a 7'3" power forward. He passed on Okafor.
Uh-huh.
He passed on Emmanuel Mudiay. Don't blame Kobe Bryant. They always want to blame, until Kobe. No, you could have drafted better. You know, was Julius Randle the better pick at the time? You know, Clarkson's panned out, but to blame their mistakes and free agency and to blame their struggles now on Kobe Bryant or that Kobe's holding them back. So when Kobe leaves this summer, it's all going to change?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It changes if they get the number one pick and they get Ben Simmons. Then they got their guy for the future that's going to turn it around. But this is, you know, not a quick fix thing. When you have the number two pick in the draft, you can't make a mistake.
More NBA talk with Yahoo NBA writer Mark Spears right after this quick timeout.